Blog Talk Radio. Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. Thank you for joining us tonight. As most of you already know, I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, are my co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Kim is also a beautiful woman. She's a divorced mother of two. She will share the secrets that she's heard men utter about love, relationships, and marriage. And she's learned a lot of this from being a topless dancer in a gentleman's club. She's also a hairdresser. Please feel free to call in with your questions tonight, and the number is 646-929-0958. I want to thank everybody for their wonderful emails about last week's show. And yes, I think we're going to have to do part two, Conversations with the Dead, because that's what people are asking us to do another one. Tonight's show is going to be about the laws of attraction. I know we've all read The Secret in the last few years, and we've been practicing this art of positive thinking, and yet some of us are still not manifesting the love, health, and or prosperity we desire. Are you wondering what I'm doing wrong? Then this is the right show for you. We're going to help you understand what the law of attraction is and what it isn't. Basically, in a nutshell, the law of attraction means that we attract what we think, and our thoughts do control a lot of what our life will be like and has been like. Now, I know that Kim is really close to this topic. This seems to be one of hers, you know, that she really enjoys. She's read the Law of Attraction books. I think she's practiced in her life. Kim, what would you like to share about your insights as far as this goes?
Well, as far as Law of Attraction, there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of books on it. I guess the simplest book that I use in my life is the one by Michael Lozier, which is a very thin paperback book that pretty much breaks it down that you attract into your life whatever you give your attention, energy, and focus to, whether it's positive or negative. Almost like, and I tell people when I'm trying to explain it, like the power of suggestion. If you keep saying something over and over again, and you're really pounding it into your head, whether it's positive or negative, the outcome might just, you know, take you by surprise, or be careful what you're asked for type of philosophy.
Absolutely. And he actually talks a lot on Oprah. He has a Law of Attraction show on Sirius Radio that I listen to quite frequently. And, you know, all of us are trying to manifest, you know, positive things in our life. And we do need to keep our thoughts positive. And I was sharing with Kim and Nicole before the show started that, you know, since my father's passed away, I've been really knee-deep in paperwork from Social Security to Medicaid, being put on hold on the phone, you know, and you never get a live person to talk, and when you do get a live person, there's all privacy laws now that they can't tell you information that you need. So I sort of feel overwhelmed by that. So I'm thinking this show came at the right moment because I need to visualize that this is going to go smoothly and that I do know what I'm doing, even though I feel that I don't. So whatever we're going in life, if I, you know, as I keep seeing this, oh, God, it's hurdles, hurdles, hurdles. It is that. But when I visualize, oh, today I'm going to get an answer, I just know I'm going to get the answer I need, it does come. So the universe seems to go along with what I'm thinking. If I think I'm going to get an answer, I'm going to get it. If I think I'm not going to get the answer today, I'm not getting it. So when we're a little bit overwhelmed and life gets hard, that's when we really need to visualize things going well. And, you know, I have several little things that I can share with you when I visualize and things have gone well. I'm not sure if Nicole has any. Have you practiced the laws of attraction, visualizing? And that's what it does demand, that we visualize a positive outcome. Has it been working for you?
Oh, absolutely.
How about with your new career? Did you manifest that?
Yeah, I think that I did. You know, I wanted something that was going to basically, you know, set me up to, you know, do the things that I had always desired to do in my life. And I basically took, you know, my new career by storm, and I didn't let anything get in my way. And it's been extremely successful, beyond what anybody thought we would be able to do. And, you know, I think that that goes with, you know, hand in hand with just believing that you can, and without doubting yourself. Because, I mean, there were many days where I sat there and I was like, oh, my God, it's just so slow, and was this the right thing to do? And then I just kind of shed the negative thoughts from my head. And the moment that I just sat there and I meditated for like 15 minutes, people would just come streaming through the door. I mean, even today, I was kind of like off today. And, you know, I was feeling a little bit negative myself today. And then all of a sudden, you know, I just sat in my office and I just said, I got to let this go. And I have, I usually keep my crystals in my pockets, and I took my negativity crystal in my hand, and I was just like, I actually said to St. Michael, I was just like, Michael, it was just whatever negativity that I'm battling today, I'm like, please help me. And within 15 minutes of just keeping my thoughts still and not focusing on anything, not business, not my personal life, nothing, all of a sudden, you know, I heard the door beep, and I went back out up front, and I pretty much made what I should have made all day long inside of 2 hours.
Wow.
Just by letting it go. I had like three people come in all day long. I chose to let go of my negative attitude, and I chose to let go and just literally just ask the universe for help. And because I did all I could do at that moment, the universe took care of the rest for me. So I couldn't have been more pleased.
Wow. Well, it used to work with me when the kids showed up, and it would be slow one day, the phones, or I'd say, oh, my God, there's nobody calling. This is terrible. And I would finally say, well, then get away from the phones and go do something else and, you know, have a good time. And when I would come back, I would see there were like 10 phone calls. And I'd say, oh, look at that. You know, it was stepping away from it, not sitting there saying, oh, God, the phones are not ringing. Go out, do something else that need getting done, and then the phones would begin to ring. It's very easy to get negative. That's the one thing we need to stress. The laws of attraction are something that if we're going to keep thinking a negative thought, it's going to happen. And, you know, when I first started doing the children's parties for a living, it was very hard. You know, I had some the parents that were really difficult to be dealing with, and it really was the most hard job because the parents were so difficult. And one day, you know, I just said, I don't want those difficult parents anymore. I'm not going to, when their friends call for, you know, they want me to do their party, or when these people call, I'm just going to say no to them. And when I said no, suddenly all these other really positive, nice people started calling. And when I stopped doing all the negative people, you know, you just keep getting referrals from those kinds of people anyway, it doesn't stop. And I started doing really nicer people. I got a really nice client basis. But I had to have the courage to say, I don't want to do these parties. You know, I don't want to do them. I do want to do the kids' parties, but I don't need to have this much hard time when I go to work. And suddenly the universe brought me positive and nice clientele. So it is, again, where I put my attention. If I kept putting my attention by doing these negative people, I would keep that kind of energy going. But by giving that up, I got something else. So that's one of the laws of attraction. You have to see something better, and you have to stop putting your attention where you don't want to stay. That's a very important principle of it. And you also have to have a vision. You have to see something and make it manifest. Now, Kim, you've been pretty practicing this laws of attraction, I think more than anybody I know. Can you tell how it's working for you?
Well, I do believe it's working very well in my life. I've been a very happy person for the last, you know, I would say year, getting back into focus with my life. And I do want to stress that one of the principles of the laws of attraction is you really have to know what you want.
The vision.
You know, you have to have an actual vision and really focus on that. There's a quote in the book by Napoleon Hill, who has written a book called Think and Grow Rich. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that.
Yeah, it's a very famous book.
It's positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate. It is your responsibility to make sure that positive emotions constitute the dominating influence of your mind. Which is a funny thing, because several weeks ago I discussed about my friend said, I want so much. And I said, well, why don't you try one thing at a time? And he said something to me, you know, a couple years back. I wish I could just delete this and put something else. And it's the same. And I gave him actually a delete button that I found in Michael's last summer, and I had to get it to him somehow, you know, and I wound up getting it to him because that was his word. I want to just delete. And, you know, every once in a while I'll say to him, you know, I'll text him, delete the bad thoughts and think about something good. And it's as simple as that. And, of course, we all think, you know, negative thoughts from time to time. And it does take a little training of the mind to say, okay, well, if I don't want this, this is what I do want.
Wow. And what we can do, there are some people that tell me they use a vision board.
I have a vision board.
Okay,
I have.
So what's that vision board? Do you want to share it with us, or is it secret, or is
Oh, I have no secrets. I have one vision board that has, you know, what I desire to have in a relationship, what I desire to have materially, health, and whatnot. And then I have one solely focused on the kind of relationship that I want. And it's in my bedroom. I look at it every day. I'm looking at it right now. And it has, you know, little things on it that says, you know, fairy tales do come true and simply the best and just things that make me look at a relationship in a positive light. And it's funny, for the last several weeks, a lot of people have been very negative towards my own thinking about my own life. And they say, Kim, you're living a fairy tale. I said, well, isn't it nice to be me? Because I'm happy in my fairy tale.
And that's exactly it. We have to see the vision for our own life. The problem sometimes is when people are, you know, really caught in negativity, it becomes a spiraling mental state downward into depression. And depression is a feeling of hopelessness. And my clients who are depressed, they almost can't see anything other than negative. So, you know, sometimes that's where the serotonin reuptakes help, the antidepressants, to sort of lift that negativity so that they can have a vision. So sometimes, if we're stuck in a really not happy place in our life, one of the best things to do is almost what you might think is a fantasy. It's what I used to do when I wanted out of my marriage and I didn't know how to get out of it. I just visualize somehow I was divorced and my husband was still okay about it, my friend and my daughter was okay, and I had enough money to live, and I had a good career that I liked and a nice place to live and a good soulmate lover. And it all manifested, but at the time it was just a fantasy. In my head, I didn't know I was practicing the laws of attraction, because in the laws of attraction, it's your job to have the vision. It's not your job to immediately know how to manifest that. You know, your vision will then have your angels and guides in the universe step by step get you to where you're going to go. So it's like if you can't envision where you want to live, when people say, I don't know where I want to live, and then they're sort of like happy, unhappy wherever they are. And then if one day they visualize they really want to be in Florida where it's warm because they like the warm weather, suddenly that whole thing starts to snowball and happen. So we do need a vision, and then we need to watch the universe guiding our steps toward that vision. And Nicole, with your business,
mm-hmm.
How did that come about? You know, was it you thinking, I know you had a job you didn't really want to be doing anymore.
Yes. I was pretty much at a point in my life where I had wanted a lot, but I had just gotten stagnant. You know, I didn't know what direction to turn. And it was, you know, more or less, even though I was making good money, I was just not happy. And I just dreaded it very, very much. So I think the first step was the fact that I just had to rely on the fact that more money will come. You know, I don't have to be miserable just to make money. So one day on like the spur of the moment, I just said, I quit. And from that point on, you know, I started working someplace else where, again, you know, I was happier, but I was not quite my happiest. And eventually, by relinquishing, you know, those ties to the almighty dollar and by relinquishing my ties to what I had perceived my sense of security to be, I basically had an opportunity come in front of me where I gave up everything that I had been saving for the last few years. And, you know, what better time? It didn't have to rain for me to find a use for it, you know. And I just gave up every single thing I had but the money in my pocket. And I just said, all right, let's do it. And I just took the chance and I took the risk. And out of that, you know, I was living in a place that I really didn't like. I was doing a job that I really didn't like. I had cash in my pocket, but I really didn't know what to do with it, and it never seemed like enough. Now I'm in a position where I'm living in an absolutely beautiful place. You know, I left the old place that I didn't like because I just had enough. You know, I'm living in a beautiful place. You know, my bills are taken care of. You know, I do work very hard, but I'm working for myself, and I'm working, you know, making money and doing, you know, working around children, which I absolutely love to do. And I get to wear jeans to work every day, you know. And it's just all of those little things that just make it all worth it. And like I said, you know, we keep getting a lot of feedback on the job that we're doing there, and it's absolutely amazing in the capacities that you touch these lives. Because, you know, here I am, I'm just working in a store, you know, I'm just a random person, yet every single person knows me. The kids, when they're having trouble at school, come and talk to me. You know, I'm actually getting to teach them about the laws of attraction. I'm actually getting to teach them about being positive and about never ever doubting themselves and about going for the things that they want to go for. And it really is more fulfilling than I ever thought it was going to be.
But you see, every job we're asked to do is for us to, of course, make money and serve. And that there's always those little things that you're touching people's lives in ways that can be really positive. You know, that's the problem that I'm finding when I'm dealing with this whole thing with my father. I'm dealing with a lot of people in jobs they obviously hate. And so when I need their help, they're so negative. They so don't want to help. They so are, you know, bogged down with, this is paperwork. And now because of privacy laws, they're able to say, well, I can't answer that. That's not my thing. So they don't even have to do the job at all. And it's just so pleasant when you get someone on the other side of the phone or that you're dealing with that's positive and say, oh, well, I'm not sure, but let me see what we can do about that. How can I help you? Yeah, I'm sure we can settle that. And you hear a positive voice, it affects everyone. So when we do our job with that little bit extra, you know, labor of love behind it and wanting to be helpful, and even the way Kim's doing it, her job isn't to counsel these children, but they come in and they trust her because children like an adult that actually listens to them. Half the time they're not going to go home and talk to their parents. Parents are going to yell at them if they tell them something or maybe too busy to listen. So Kim becomes this wise voice. Nicole becomes this very wise voice who helps the children all the time, and that's just wonderful, wonderful.
Well, you know, even in my...
What'd you say, Kim?
I said even in my own business that I work in, you know, the topless bar business, and not liking the job for such a long time and just being progressively over the years just miserable to even step foot in the building at times. I was, you know, I don't want to be here, and taking the break and refocusing my mind, I'm there. I'm happy. I mean, even a day like today, I'm trying to sit, read my law of attraction, and everybody wants to talk to me, and everybody wants my entertainment services and such, and I laugh, and I don't worry so much about the money because it always comes. And the less I worry about it, the more I make, which is ironic.
Because worry is a negative thought. Worry.
Right, and I say, well, you know, God's always provided for me my entire life, and today I'm happy. And if I can send somebody a smile and just send somebody, you know, just make somebody's day just by a friendly text. I mean, I do that, you know. I have my different days where I text different people just something that will make them smile and know that I'm thinking about them. And it makes me feel good. It brings my vibration up. And because I was so unhappy for a long time, I had contrast to what I did want. And the job's not so bad, and
but
I'm
again,
happy
you
to be there.
Aside. You stepped outside. outside of your life for a minute and step back in with a different attitude. I had to do with that with the kids shows because I started to really hate it. And it was mainly because, you know, there's no room for error in that job. You have to be on time. You have to, you know, look good. You have to, you know, always do everything perfectly or people just got unglued. And when I changed my vision and said, I love the kids and I'm there for the kids, and I began to ignore the grown-ups and focus on the kids, I began to love the very same job I couldn't stand. So it is our attitude adjustment. So if any of you are out there right now due to the economy and you seem to be stuck where you don't want to be in gratitude for the fact that you do have a job right now. Try to do it to the best of your ability. Visualize that there's a better job waiting for you, but come with the attitude that this is not forever, it is for today. And so it is just a different attitude makes the whole job seem much, much better. We've all been there, you know, places where we don't want to be. So, Kim, that was a very valuable lesson for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just changed the channel. And people laugh when I say that, and they start, you know, oh, my God, this is bad, and this is bad. I said, so what's good? Change the channel. Tell me a story about something that's good in your life going on right now. And tell me what makes you feel good, and definitely do more of that.
And that's it. So we're going to have a vision. We're also going to have to ask for it. We're going to have to ask and then make room for receiving of it. So you ask the universe. You have your vision, and you ask the universe to guide your steps. And then you have to be ready to receive it, but you also have to be a little patient. You know, it's not, you know, receiving does take time. You know, we may say, some people, you know, come back to me, they want a soulmate love, and, it, you know, this week, and it doesn't come next week. And I have to explain to them, in the laws of attraction, work in divine timing. And divine timing isn't exactly your time, although it can be. If it is your moment to receive that soulmate, and soulmates usually do circle for a number of years around us, it has to be when we're really ready. If it was really the right time and you just said, today I'm ready, it would be there at your doorstep. So it's sometimes being patient and sometimes being ready to instantly receive. You know, it does work both ways, the laws of attraction. When it's not working, it's usually something sabotaging us, or we're not realizing it really isn't the right time. Our fears are getting in the way. The laws of attraction can be practiced on a daily basis to receive small things. Sometimes if we think about receiving small things and we see them come instantly, it can help us prepare that the bigger things can happen just as quickly as, you know, the smaller. And, you know, when I'm sitting here overwhelmed by things, I sometimes just do what Nicole was saying, sort of meditate for a minute, get that sense of peace, and all of a sudden the answer comes that I'm waiting to receive. So again, the laws of attraction are in effect every single day. And I don't know if either one of you have a law of attraction story you'd like to share with us, something that you had happened to you relatively quickly. I could share my own manifesting my soulmate in my life, having had enough of waiting for a commitment phobic and just finally saying, I've had enough. And I became very specific into what I wanted in a soulmate and bring him now. And it happened the next day. So if it's ready to happen, it will happen. Anyway, I do believe we have a caller.
We do.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's just TJ.
Hi, TJ.
Hi, TJ. How are you? I was just talking
fine.
About how I manifested you.
Yeah, well, we all have our own views on that. But I just wanted to add that it was about a year ago at this time when I was working, what I do where I write, and, you know, in all publications, let me sit up a second. In all publications, they cut back pay substantially. I was really pissed off. And I was going to quit. I was going to do. Then I said, you know what? I'm just going to turn this around. And I started doing all these workouts at Gurney's. I had these free passes for their spas for all these years. I never used it. And I just started like really getting in this really positive place, and I felt good. I didn't even care about the money because I wasn't eating that much. I started dieting and so forth. And right when I was right about where my target was, was the night I met Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
When I only met her by accident because I really went to see someone's mother who was
no accidents.
No accidents. I was waiting for you to say that.
It's all synchronicity, TJ.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I went in there. I just remember that I remember seeing Cindy, and the first thing I said, you know, I don't know how many times I've said this, but I think I call her a nut job, but that she reminded me of me. First sentence, which normally would not really get you very far in life, but that's what I said, and she does remind me of me, and we've been having that same conversation now for almost a year, and the thing was that, you know, I was in a really positive place, and the last thing on earth I wanted was like a long-term relationship, or I was pretty convinced it was just going to be me and my dog for the rest of my life, you know. And it's what you're talking about tonight, I think.
Well, the laws of attraction were in effect with you because what I learned later was that TJ would write all these articles about love and you know, romance for the newspaper. So obviously he was giving out that energy to the universe, whether he realized it or not.
Well, they're all comical ones, you know.
He thought they were comical,
yeah,
women saying, older women were saying, I love reading your articles about love or relationships. So, you know, we can be writing things.
Well, I was writing stories about blind dates and about, the dating scene over 50 and, you know.
So you were giving your attention.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah,
so without
well,
him
So
really,
when you give your desired intention... And then finally you just said, the hell with it, I'm not even thinking about it anymore. That's when it happened.
Well, you know, what happened really was, but the thing I liked the best was that when I said to someone that, you know, Cindy just reminded me so much of me, and then the person said, so you sort of fell in love with yourself?
That's a good thing.
Well, that's what, it has to be self-love first. You have to like yourself. And then, of course, all these things come together, and basically what we're trying to say is there's lots of positive things out there waiting for us, and we just have to sometimes put it in our mind that we've had enough of something that's not working, we're ready for something new, and it also has to be able to receive, because the thing with TJ was when love was offered, he was very quick to say, I maybe wasn't looking for this, but I'm going to put 2 feet in and make it work. So sometimes the universe knows what we need even more than we might know, and when we're given a gift of abundance or love, it's receiving it. So many people can't receive what they're being given, so that's an important principle in the laws of attraction. Also saying positive affirmations, are you familiar with that, Kim? Did you get that in the law that you're supposed to be saying some affirmations?
Yes, of course. The affirmations that you say to yourself, you have to believe them. You know, the bottom line is it's based on contrast, of course, you know, what you don't want as opposed to what you do want in your life, and believe it. You know, it's funny, I have a lot of negative people around me that say, oh, that I'm always like, true love is possible for anybody. True love will come into my life. Oh, there's no such thing. I mean, I hear this more times. And, you know, I have to change the channel on it. And I say, well, I deserve that. And I believe that that's going to be there for me. I'm sorry that that's not there for you.
If I may intercede, though, I think you have to, you know, I want true love in my life. Almost anyone you know, in the night circuit that I was like the champion of on the East End, you know, just from covering it and basically being up all night every night without really drinking, I had to listen to everyone's story. But what I'm getting to is, you have to change your own energy before you can bring in all, I mean, it comes from within. I think when I started doing all those workouts and stuff and started feeling better about myself physically, I mean, I knew I wasn't going to make any money, so I said, I'm going to at least do something with this time. And then you start, you know, feeling better about everything else. I think it draws stuff in. I think, you know, you send out a positive vibe and you draw it in and you bring it out in other people.
Well, that's one of the principles of the law of attraction, to surround yourself with people with good vibes. You know automatically when you get a bad vibe off of somebody. I try to run in the other direction if I can. or I try to turn it around and change the channel to something positive. But it's very important to keep up your vibration, you know, of positive thoughts.
And on that, and then I'm going to get off the phone and let other people call in because this one. I covered a funeral for Nick Monti, the guy who was the founder of Gurney, well, not the founder, but the founder of the modern Gurneys. And at his at the service, someone used to say that they used to, you know, how you doing, Nick? How are you? He used to always say, "Never been better, no matter what." and you know, I use that now. It's kind of strange because, you know, another friend of mine used to say, when people say, "How are you feeling?" He says, "You got an hour?" But I mean, I think
run away.
I think if you just say never been better, you'd be surprised how the smile you get back or the positive vibe you get back instantly.
That's,
you know,
right.
No matter, you know, like even at the bank today, I was like tired or whatever, you know, and so how are you today? And I just look, never been better. And they smile back, or, you know, I mean, it's just that it sets the tone in a different direction.
Exactly.
And if you get in the habit of just saying that, I mean, you know, I mean, I have, you know, I mean, I live in the real world, but I say it all the time now. It's my response.
It's your mantra.
How are you? Yeah, well, yes, it's my Cadillac too. Anyway, I'm going to let you, I just was watching. Anyway, I am going to let you all go on with your, you know, the discussions. I just wanted to add that. And the funny thing is, you know, Cindy at that time really did tell me that I was from, what did you say? You had asked the universe for me or whatever you said?
Yes, I did.
I don't know. You got to remember, this is someone who I've known an hour or two. You know, and, you know, Cindy is not your prototypical, you know, person you meet a first
Thank
time.
God.
And I think, it's very bizarre, and I'm really, you know, we say the same words at the same time so many times, it's totally eerie.
Well, that's exactly what I told him when I had asked for a writer. I was very specific when I asked. I said, let him be a writer. Let him be a man who wants to put 2 feet into a relationship. Let him be a little bit old-fashioned. Let him be a man who could say what he feels, a man who's romantic, and lots of other things. And it was really what I had ordered. And so if you're very specific, when the gift that you're asking for comes, you know it's it. You know, you don't question, well, this is what I asked for yesterday, but is this right? You say, no, this is what I've asked for. So we're going to be very specific this year, 2010, in writing down even what it is that we want. Because if you write it down, you really put in all those little extras. So, you know, I want to thank TJ for joining
us.
Thank you, TJ. And we're going to go
Lee, thank you for putting up with my nonsense. But I think I really believe that, you know, you can set the tone, and when you set the tone, you draw in the vibe.
And
it's
that's exactly
that.
The truth. And we're going to go into some of the affirmations that, you know, we can say. What kind of affirmations can we say? They should be positive. And some of them that come from Catherine Ponder's book, which is the author of The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, a very old book, but it was very good. I came across it at the library when I always get those little bargains for a nickel or a quarter, and this book is quite brilliant. And some of them that she says are, everything and everybody prospers me now, and I prosper everything and everyone now. I now bless everyone, everything, and every situation in my life now as good, good, and very good. I love the highest and best in all people, and I now draw the highest, best, and most prosperous-minded people to me. I give thanks that I am well and happy now. I love and accept myself. I am worthy of love. I am worthy of all good things. So they're just really, you know, most of us have been, you know, taught to beat ourselves up or not feel very good about ourselves. I mean, I grew up with 3 older brothers who could be really nasty in their comments to me. You know, I'm surprised I go out of the house without a bag on my head because, you know, they were really quite insulting most of my life. So we've incorporated a lot of the negative things. If we've had parents who haven't said such positive things to us, or, you know, parents who say, you're stupid, oh, you know, you're always doing things wrong, or why can't you do that right? we incorporate those negative voices into our heads. So affirmations are just really sort of putting that kind parental voice into your head that says, you know, you really are doing a good job. You know, it's funny because as I'm going through the paperwork and doing everything to help with my parents and my father, I will see a vision of my father with a huge, very charismatic smile that he had and saying to me, you're doing really good. You really are doing good. And that's kind of the opposite of him in life, because he could often be the one that made you feel like you were doing everything wrong. So here he is coming to me in this moment to be that kind and nurturing voice. So, you know, we can say those affirmations. Kim, do you have any of your own that you use, or Nicole?
I pretty much started out with, you know, suggestions from this book that I was in the process of creating certain things in my life. And again, it was like a reprogramming my mind. I came from a big family as well, and I know you all heard me talk about my one brother who's doom and gloom. And I laugh because I just don't surround myself with these people who say, you're never going to do this. Life is never this. Life is, you know, I'm just tired of all the negativity, and I just pretty much reprogram my mind over the last how many years. And, of course, when we're in a bad place in our lives, or, you know, sadness or broken heart or whatever, people, negative people want to come to you and tell you, you know, whatever they have to say. And that's not necessarily bringing up your, you know, your vibe or your spirit, so to speak. So now if I see somebody saddened, I try to bring up their spirits, which bring up my spirits as well on an everyday, regular basis. So I'm just in tremendous gratitude. Every single day I just say, this is what I'm grateful for. What are you grateful for? You know, what are you grateful for? And people are like, well, I'm grateful. And I said, that's great. That's super. Just focus on what you're grateful for every single day. And I find that the more gratitude I have in my life, it just keeps coming back. Like all this love is coming back to me from everybody that I know. And the people that are, let's say, negative, they're repelled by me. They run away from me.
Right, of course. So, again, it's changing your energy, and that changes the world. In The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, which was written in the 1960s, way before The Secret, she has certain steps. And the first one is, as nearly as you can, form a mental picture of what you want your life to be like. That's a very important one. You have to see it. And I would tell you to visualize 1 year where you want to be a year from now. You want to visualize the love in your life, the monetary prosperity, where you want to live, happiness for your children or those people in your life. You know, include as many people. And then target it 5 years from now where you want to be. Then she says step two, after forming a picture of what you desire, begin developing and living your desire mentally. Begin thinking of the desired results as though they were already obtained. Then, number three, ask divine intelligence to show you the next step toward attaining your desired picture of good. You will be shown whether it means going to night school for more courses of study, making drastic changes in your work and way of life, or developing a more constructive attitude about your present job and the potential. As you are shown the next step, boldly follow it in faith, knowing that it can lead only to richer satisfaction. Four is persist and persevere, knowing that that your work can and shall be yours, and that all that you want shall be yours. Five, continue giving your best in your present situation, even though you may be mentally living beyond it. And above all, keep your spirits high through the laws of attraction. Need that. So, you know, there are steps that we have to take. And, you know, I think we knew this as kids. If you ever put it in your mind, like I wanted to be in kick line when I was a teenager. I really wanted to be in it. But at that time, I wasn't particularly coordinated, I don't think, and I wasn't the best at it. But I really, really practiced very hard. And my brother would say, oh, God, you're never going to get in kick line. What are you doing? And I just so wanted that goal. And when I obtained it, I was so amazed. And later on, I would become captain of Kickline 3 years later, which would further surprise me. And when I was leaving high school, and I thanked the woman coach who had picked me for Kickline, had picked me for captain of it, and you know what she said to me? She said, "You really weren't very good when I picked you to be in Kickline, but you were working so hard, and I knew that you would eventually be the best one. And all the other girls who were so promising and just got lazy never progressed, but you became the best because you were so determined. But when I picked you, you certainly weren't." So can you see how my determination made something happen? And this person was wise enough to see that I would work very hard toward the goal. So sometimes we just have to be showing the people or the powers that be that we have potential and we're willing to work hard to make that happen. And that's a good lesson to teach your children, you know, to keep working hard. If it doesn't succeed at first, you know, try again, maybe next year or next time. Because a lot of people get extremely discouraged and then give up. I think we do have a caller.
We do.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
I have kidnapped your husband. Here are my demands. 1, a pound of blow. 2, 3 hooks.
Well, my
God. And that's enough out of that.
Okay, that came from a computer person who probably, you know, has
and it made us laugh. Yay!
Probably has fun. Did we attract that, you, either one of us?
Laws
of attraction.
Don't think so.
Okay.
But it made us laugh, so that's
it
a good thing.
It did make us laugh. And anyway, thank God for the delete button or the
delete. Thank you, Steve. Delete.
Now, in my book, if you remember, I have the 7 tenets of manifest destiny, and I had put it that you have to ask and you shall receive, and that you do have to practice the art of positive thinking and positive conversation. Watch your thoughts and your words. Refrain from negativity, from whining, complaining, belly aching. Refrain from gossiping, all kinds of negative talk. Gossiping is negative talk. It's extremely negative talk. Also, we have to honor the laws of karma and know that every action has a reaction. Now, the laws of karma do recognize the concept of free will, and there are random acts of karma. Unfortunately, I did a tarot card reading for today for a wonderful woman who was trying to come to terms to why her son was knifed to death in Westbury 5 months ago. And that was very much a random act of karma. He was definitely in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, it wasn't his negative thoughts that brought that to be. But in the reading, it was made very clear that it was approaching his due date to die. And his mother said he always knew he was going to die young. And I said, yes, that was for him to tell you and others. So when his death appeared to be so unjust and so useless, you would know that there had to be a higher message. And basically what was told to me was these gang members were so bad and they were hurting people all over the place through their drug use, through their beatings of people, through their drug selling, that they're taken off the street now and they won't be able to hurt other people who it really wasn't their due date to die. So even though in some ways that was a random act of karma, it was not his negativity that drew that. So it's very important that we have to understand that, because otherwise people are looking for, well, how did I draw this into my life? Did I have a negative thought? Did I do this? Not every one of your thoughts is going to manifest something bad or good. Sometimes the universe is just not the right time. So I need people not to have guilt if somehow something bad happens in their life and they're wondering how they drew it into their life. Sometimes it can be a random act of karma or a bigger picture that you don't see at the time. And again, after you do begin to realize that you have to begin to cultivate very clear vision of what you want, examine the thoughts that are getting in the way of you having what you wish for.
Well, a lot of it is a lot of limiting beliefs. I can't have this. I can't do this. That, you know, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too young, I'm too, you know, this or that. And kind of turning that around, well, there's thousands of people that are like me out there that had this, you know, that have wonderful things going on in their lives. It's not focusing on your limiting of beliefs or what people have told you your whole life, put you down, things like that. You know, that's other people projecting their own negative stuff on you. And if you change your thoughts, eventually, you know, when people come up to me and tell me things, well, this, that, and I say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I don't feel that way.
Absolutely.
You know,
now, we do have another caller.
I keep it positive.
We do have another caller, a 212 number.
Make sure this isn't a computer.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's not
yeah,
a computer. 111. We're going to avoid those from now on.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, I've been actually chatting with one of you.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you. It's very nice to chat with you. And that was a very scary caller before.
Oh, yeah, well, it's scary, except we're all safe in our own homes, so it's really not scary. It's one of those men who like to terrorize women, you know, for fun.
I've heard other radio shows that have even worse problems than what we just experienced.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, because it is something that, because these are, you know, open to anybody to call in and, you know, be offensive. We don't have that sort of limit the time. Like a lot of call-in shows on Sirius Radio, they have sort of like 10-second, you know, delay so that
okay.
You're not seeing that that's happening.
Oh,
on.
So you can censor
right,
it.
You're right.
We don't have that here, so we had to get it. And, of course.
Well, I think everybody.
I have three older brothers, so it can scare me.
It's so sad that people are walking around with that kind of energy around in their bodies. It's just so sad. There's, like, so much energy, and then this person has the wrong type of energy, and who cares, you know? Like,
well,
what is he
it
doing?
It made us laugh, so that's not so bad.
Yeah, no. It's not so bad. It stays in his circle.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Did you have a question?
Yes, I would like to get, like, I would like to figure out, like, what I want in my life and to believe in it, too, that I can have it. For me, it's always been like as if it's such a big deal to have a man in your life or something, that it's so super special. And I've always been like watching other people have an affair and watching other people move on in their lives, and I'm staying behind, if that's not the right word choice. But anyway, I feel like, why am I not participating? Why am I a watcher of, you know, these relationships that other people have? I want to be living in one, and I feel like maybe that's
can
well,
you
maybe you need to get a little
one?
Specific about what it is you want. Get a pen and a paper. Write it down. This is what I want. A man this tall, honest, you know, all these tremendous qualities. And perhaps, you know, you just need to get more specific about what you want. Because you said, I don't know what I want. So if you write it down on paper, it's tangible right in front of you.
Well,
you can change it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel like the last guy that I was with was really the one for me, except his actions were horrible. Like, he would, you know, convince me in certain ways, but then his actions were just horrible.
Well, then he's not the one, because soulmate love, even if it started out as soulmate, doesn't stay that way. He's not the one if his actions can't be soulmate-like, and that's bringing the best out in him, healing his issues, learning to say what he means without being mean about it, you know, putting his money where his mouth is, being kind and truthful.
He was never mean. He was never disrespectful. He was never awful, even though I got really mad at him for not doing anything and for just pretending that we were in a relationship while nothing was happening. And so bizarre. Well, it's just sad. And
well, he sounds like a commitment phobic.
Yeah, he told me he was commitment phobic, and he says he wants to come and visit me and this and that and all these beautiful things, and I don't even know what's going on. Then I found out that I asked the universe, I said, you know, I want to know what's going on with this guy. I found this video of him and his ex-girlfriend and how his heart was broken over her, and so after that, my reality got a little bit better. I wasn't so blurred anymore. I'm clear now of what's going on with him. And I want to get an F.
When someone tells you they're a commitment phobic, what is it that you didn't hear?
That's pretty straight up.
You know what I'm saying? When somebody tells you, I never want to get married, or, you know, I never want to have children, or I don't want to be in a lasting relationship.
No, that's not exactly what he said. He says he's trying to work it out, and he's trying to work things out. And that's, he's just keeping me, putting me on hold, basically, and telling me he's working on himself and trying to get there.
Well, you and I were just chatting about this in the chat room. So, you know, I know a little bit more than Kim or Cindy know about, you know, what your situation is. Basically, two things. Like I had said in the chat room, if you want to figure out what you want, look at yourself and think about the qualities that you yourself possess that you want in another person. And then take it the next step. Come up with qualities that maybe you don't have right now. Come up with the ideal you. And make sure that you write down all these qualities and make sure that every day you are the complete mirror of the person that you want looking back at you. That, you know, that you are living and you are doing the things for yourself that you want somebody else to do for you. Okay? That's first and foremost, because nobody is going to love you the way that you want to be loved unless you love you that way. You know, you have to give yourself love first.
Yeah, I believe in that, and I'm actually working on that more than I've ever done before, which is really wonderful.
And that's great.
And
also, though, you know, if he's putting you on hold, you know what, there's nothing to say that you can't have patience, and there's nothing to say that, you know, maybe he is working on himself. Maybe you can give him the benefit of the doubt for a little while, you know, but at a certain point, you need to decide when your patience is being abused and when you're just not going to wait anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know what, there's divine timing in everything, and if he's meant to be yours, whether you're together right now or whether you're together in 5 years, guess what? You'll be together either way. You know,
yeah,
if it's really that meant to be.
I'm going to put something out there for all the commitment phobics listening. Uh-huh. You know, if you found a beautiful, priceless diamond out on the street, would you pick it up for a month and say, but now I'm not sure I want this priceless diamond, I'm going to put it back out on the street? You think someone else is not going to come and pick that priceless diamond up and take good care of it? So, you know, think of love and a beautiful person as a priceless diamond. If you're just keeping that thing on hold or giving it back or putting it out there on the market, some very smart person who's practicing the laws of attraction, who know that what a gift love is gone. Like, pick up that gift. And that's what you are to the world. You're a beautiful gift that if this man doesn't see it as that, and, you know, it's how long you're willing to put up with this. You know, sometimes people are closet commitment phobics. They get involved with the real classic commitment phobics, you know, don't really want to get involved. But a closet commitment phobic can sort of be in a relationship that's not in a relationship for a very long time, because they can say, well, it's not my fault this isn't progressing. It's his fault. It's really, if you want to be in a committed relationship, then you're going to be in one. And, you know, if you begin to say that and put that energy out there, whether it's going to be him or another person, will be determined by his behaviors. What generation are you in? Are you in your 20s or your 30s or
no,
your 40s?
No, 30s, like mid-30s.
Okay, because that particular generation are major commitment phobics. You know, they're really having problems committing to relationships. So it can be some problem for you because you are up against, you know, that particular generation for whatever reason has decided they're not sure if they want to commit. You know, then they hit 42 and they all want to get a soulmate and have a baby.
Yeah, that's what happened. My parents tried to match me with a man, and he was like 42 or something, and I was just not attracted to him. He was just not, it wasn't the age. It was absolutely not the age. It was just not my man.
Well, because it was a man to fit a plan. If you want a baby, here's a man to fit a plan.
Yeah.
And that's not what
you're
looking for. So, again, you need to visualize yourself in a committed relationship or married, if that's what you want to be. visualize the children and, you know, the home and the life that you want, and see it every day. And try to, you know, refrain from hearing your friends say, well, you know, men don't want to commit, all men suck, they, you know, they can't be trusted.
That's
you
not
know.
True.
And
it's
that's
very
what you,
hard to hear people like that. I just don't want to, yeah, I need.
You need to surround yourself with much more positive thinking people who are really knowing. You know, there's a new song out by, I think, Michael Bublé, you know, I Just Haven't Found You Yet. Did you hear that song?
Oh, I love that song, yes.
That's the song, you know, that's a song all of you who are looking for love should play. You know, I know you're out there. I just haven't found you yet, and I'm, you know, preparing myself, and he's readying himself for that gift. You know, the problem is that people are given the gift of love, and they run from it, and they don't cherish it. So,
and can I just interject here? I don't know your name. What is your name?
Anna.
Anna. Hi, I'm Kim. If you just stay focused on something really positive, the rest will kind of fall away eventually. It's not that you'll forget, but you'll become, you know, more attractive to yourself, which brings, you know, other beautiful people to you. And that other thing, you know, it could still be there or whatever, but it will fall away eventually. And if it was meant to be, it'll come full circle. So stay in a positive.
There's some way to... Okay, if I want to, like, for example, I don't, now that I had a habit of, like, waiting around, did he write me, did he not, is he there, is he not, how do I now get rid of that
of waiting?
Energy?
You just have to say in your head,
stop
it, I'm done, I'm not waiting anymore, you know, and begin to really take your life. I mean, that's pretty much what I did in Manifest with TJ. I said, I had enough of this. So it's really you saying...
It does take time. It doesn't mean that you're not going to think about them, but just, you know, make a conscious effort to stop that behavior and just start another behavior, you know what I mean? Just think in a different direction, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm also going to make the suggestion to... and this is actually something that Kim has gotten me involved in that I really, you know, didn't see the point of before, but now the more that I'm doing it, I'm really seeing a lot of difference in my focus, is start a vision board. Go, you know, to Borders or Barnes & Nobles or whatever, you know, is convenient for you. Get a book about vision boards and go get yourself a cork board. And, you know, cut out, like, little sayings. Cut out pictures of, you know, what you would hope that, you know, your person would look like. You know, cut out just different, like, maybe excerpts of, you know, what you would like your love life to be. And put it someplace that's intimate for you. And look at that every day and read something else on that board every single day and remind yourself that even though you don't have what you want in this moment, that just by reading that board and just by working on that board a little bit at a time, you're preparing yourself to have it, you know, in the near future.
That's true. That's,
you know,
that's
then this way, when it's in front of you, it's tangible. You can see it.
And
yes,
it does bring up your, you know, your vibration to a positive level when you do work on it and when you do look on it, it makes you smile. So.
Absolutely. Well, we have about 2 minutes left, so I do want to
thank you for calling.
Thank you, Anna.
Please call and let us know when that soulmate manifests, and it will.
I hope so. Thank you. Blessings, everyone.
Thank you.
So I can see that we had the man who tried to kidnap our show back on, so I'm glad we didn't.
Well, I don't know if that's the same guy, though, because sometimes when people just want to hide their number.
Well, we're assuming it is.
No, we don't want him. Negative.
Anyway,
run away.
I do want to thank everyone for all their kind emails to me lately. I know Alda's listening, and Alda, you can certainly call me for a reading anytime you want. I know you've been very polite and wondering if I'm back in business, and I am, and thank you for being patient. Kim, have anything you want to say? Shout out.
Yes, I'm going to say if anybody has a chance to get the Law of Attraction, The Science of Attracting More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't Want by Michael Lozier. It's a fairly inexpensive book, and it is pretty much very simple to read. And I want to thank you for everybody's support and encouragement, and I love you all.
Nicole?
All right. I just want to shout out to all of the people that were listening tonight. We had a lot of callers tonight. We had a lot of people in the chat room tonight. Thank you all for your continued support of our show. And I just want to say to all of the people that I know said that they were listening tonight, I love you guys. Thank you very much. And you guys have any questions out there, then feel free to email any of us or call in next week, and we'll be more than happy to help you through this.
And my positive affirmation for the evening is, in love and dreams, there are no impossibilities.
That's right.
And my positive affirmation for tonight is I'm not going to go for Kim's. I'm going to go for Einstein. Your imagination is your preview of life's coming attractions.
Wow.
So keep your imaginations going, guys.
Speak to you next week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.